Welcome to Recovery Rocks, where we talk about all things recovery and music. I'm Tawny.
And I'm Lisa, and we're really glad you're here.
Hey, everyone. It is your two favorite sober gals, Tawny and
Lisa,
reporting live. Not really, but it's fun to say. We are going to chat about money today. You know, Lisa, you know I love to talk about all things taboo. And I feel like sex and money are equally taboo, at least yeah. in our society. So I'm drawn to
discussion topics.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just
not
talking,
polite to talk. Yeah.
Yeah. They're not polite to talk about, but they are such significant parts of the human experience of just being alive. Even if you're someone who doesn't, you know, I'm getting tangential here. But we're going to focus on money today. We are going to chat about this article that I wrote a couple years ago it was a year and a half ago for The Temper. We love The Temper.
And it's linked in the show notes. The article.
Linked in the show notes. It's called How to Save or Spend All That Money That You're Not Using to Buy, that you're not using to spend on booze. So that really means, you know, like Lisa and I talk about, you know, once you stop drinking, you often have this extra money that you're not spending on getting wasted. And those, you know, $30 on a bottle of whiskey, $12 on a bottle of wine on the cheap end, adds up. It really adds up. So
$12 used to be a lot for me on a bottle of wine.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it depends on, where you are.
Yeah. And like in your descent.
In your descent, geographically, yeah. It just depends. But long story short, alcohol's very expensive. So when you cut it out, I found that I had a surplus of extra money and time because I'm not drinking I have more money from not drinking and I have more time because I'm not drinking.
And it's all the things that go along with not drinking, right? Taking
yes.
the cabs because you're running late in the morning or the Uber mm-hmm. or whatever, like late night. Stuffing your face sort of stuff.
Oh yeah. Those, I was a big fan of like the 3 a.m. tacos. Yeah. And then I was feeling, you know, buzzed and, you know, amorous. So I would buy everyone's tacos and uh-huh. like, you know, I was a bartender. So when I got off work, I had like $300 cash in my pocket. So I was like, oh, well I can buy tacos for all of my friends and whatever. So
and then I'm going to put them all in Ubers.
Yeah, exactly. And then that whole night, I didn't make any money at the end of the day. So this article I wrote just, you know, from the perspective of like some ways to spend or save that extra money. And so, you know, I also want to acknowledge that for some people, you know, getting sober is a very expensive thing. You know, like Lisa went to detox. And you had good insurance.
It was all health insurance. Yeah.
Yeah. But like not everyone has that opportunity. So I also want to acknowledge that so the first bullet that I have is investing in your hobbies. That's something that Lisa and I talk about very often is, you know, really just investing in the things that make you happy. Just having, you know, for me, it was, you know, I moved to New York City to focus on my writing career. I definitely wouldn't call writing a hobby, but I was taking a lot of classes because I did have, you know, $450 for a 6-week class. Is expensive.
Yeah.
But once I realized I was spending more than that on alcohol, I was able to take those kind of classes. So whatever your hobbies are, you can use your money in that kind of way.
Yeah, I think that one of the things when you talk about like what we the price of things like wine or whatever we did when we were out. I used to not think twice and throw money at it, but something like buying like a nice soap for the shower or, you know, like a candle to have around, that seemed like an extravagance to me when I was drinking. Like that's a weight. Like why would I spend a lot of money on a nice soap, you know? And now it's like, or a lotion or something that made me actually feel good and made my skin better or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I did that kind of thing. Like I was like, okay, I'm not going to be, for me, and I've talked about this before, I didn't own pajamas. Like I used to just pass out naked.
Oh, yeah.
Many, many years. And so I got into pajamas. Like the things, like I love pajamas now. I could be in my pajamas all day and just be grateful to be in pajamas because I have pajamas. I literally like, when I went to detox, my friend packed for me and she threw in like negligees, you know, to go to the detox, which was not good gear for that.
to feel sexy while you feel like shit.
Yeah, right. Like, or a cool mug for your coffee in the morning. It doesn't have to be, you know, just things that make your surroundings nicer that you might have thought twice about splurging on. Good coffee, right? Something, whatever it is you enjoy. Is like, wow, like I can channel it to that.
And like, and on that note, I think it's something that I'm trying to work on is not saving those things for a special occasion.
Yes.
Where like, cause I would find a box full of candles and I'm like, oh, these are my special occasion candles. I'm like, what special occasion am I waiting on to smell cinnamon pumpkin waffles? Like, let's just light this candle and have a really nice day.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, I totally do that with candles.
Or like coffee. Like, you don't need a special occasion to have really yummy coffee. Like, right. For the next 2 weeks, you're going to drink this great coffee. And then when it's done, it's done. And then you'll get something else.
Right. Know? Or buying flowers to sit in your apartment just to cheer
that's
up.
That's such a good one. I've gotten really into that lately. I think just with, you know, COVID and being home all the time, of like making my home look nice and buying myself a bouquet of flowers or dried flowers so they last longer and it looks pretty. I love stuff like that.
Yeah.
I forgot about this because I wrote this article so long ago, but each little bullet ends with a quote from someone. So I want to highlight my friend Hayden Dix. She's a drag queen here in New York. So she says, she's a drag queen who makes her own clothes. So context for the quote. Heidi says, once I stopped spending money on alcohol and stopped spending time at parties, I had more money to buy fabric and more time to make clothes. A drink at a club in New York City is usually $15 to $18, and a yard of fabric is between $6 and $13. So instead of buying a drink, I can get enough fabric to make a leotard or a corset. If I don't get two drinks, I can make a cat suit or a simple gown and buy three packs of rhinestones. So like, I love that reframe.
That's just amazing. Yeah.
I think that is so beautiful that like, she's a good friend and she's been sober for a while. And I love like I hate math. Lisa, you know, I hate math.
So do
but
I.
This, I love this. Like when you say a drink is 15 to 18, but a yard of fabric is 6 to 13. So like, I'm going to make a leotard.
Yeah.
I love that.
Seriously. I love that.
Okay, so we have, so the next one is investing in your future. This was a tough one for me because when I was partying, I really didn't think about the future a whole lot. I didn't save. I definitely didn't invest. Like, I definitely didn't invest any money and I had no savings because I was really fly by the seat of my pants, just live like, I was living very in the moment, but not in a healthy way, not in a mindful way. I would think I was broke, but it's because I was doing the stuff that I was just talking about of like 4 a.m. tacos for everybody.
Right.
But
right,
like I was, when I look back on it, I was bartending making $300-$400 a night, but I was broke.
Yeah.
That was a lot of money. And I was living in Waco, Texas. So like I had a 2-bedroom apartment for like $600. So like I could have invested a lot, but I didn't do that. What is investing in your future bring up for you, Lisa?
Well, as you've been stunned by in the past, you know, like I, in my drinking, and first I got, I had some savings and I made a bunch of bad decisions and got wiped out on that in connection with like my first marriage and stuff like that. But I had, by the time I was in my mid 30s, I got sober at 38. So by the time I was probably like 34, I said to myself, you know, and I had been maxing out at the law firm my 401k every year. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm not going to live past 40. This is stupid. I should not be putting away money for my retirement. That's never going to come. Cause there's no way I'm living to 65 or 67 to get that money. Yeah. And so for like 4 years, I didn't contribute to my 401k. And that was ridiculous when I think about it now. But it was perfectly logical and perfectly sensible to me at the time. And, you know, I became, once I got sober, very conscious of, you know, thinking about, hey, hold on a second, I might actually live past 40 and I might actually have something to, you know, save for. So investing in my future meant, you know, getting back into the solid routine of, you know, taking advantage of putting away money when I could at my firm. And it is always, you know, look, it's like, I am lucky I didn't get, you know, broadsided by a cab at 3 a.m. on First Avenue one night.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to look back and be like, oh, if only I had put that money into my 401k that year. They weren't matching.
I mean, you can't.
So it wasn't like it was some...
you can't look back like that. I mean, it's...
No, but so investing in my future really means, you know, being responsible about it now.
It does. And, you know, something like, you know, you're talking about like 401k and investing, like I was very overwhelmed by finance jargon and I still am. So, you know, talking about also investing in hobbies, you know, I took classes. I went to like an NYU all day workshop on investing. I met with a financial planner. Her name's Stephanie Genkin, Genkin. She taught a class at the Brooklyn Brainery on finance. And then I met with her one-on-one and she like, I printed out all my finances. She went over it with me and explained it to me. Like, it was amazing. And then I found some podcasts that talk about money in a more approachable way. Mm-hmm. Like Bad with Money by Gabby Dunn. And my friend Lindsay Goldwert, she has a finance podcast called Spent. So there's something about like, you know, hearing these women that are my age talking about finance is way more approachable than like at one point I was subscribed to Kiplinger's and because I was really trying and I was like, this isn't for me. Like this magazine is not for me. So like,
which is like industry finance magazine.
Yeah. It's like, you know, and a lot of finance conversation is like for like rich white dudes.
Right.
And I grew up, you know, on food stamps and I was very irresponsible with my bartending money. So I needed someone to talk to that understood that. So on that note, I chatted with Lindsay Goldwert, the host of Spent podcast. And she said, people think they need a huge lump sum to start investing or that they need to be able to understand the jargon. None of this is true. The most important thing is to watch out for hidden fees and never, ever be afraid to ask questions.
That's great. Yeah.
Which is exactly what I did. I booked a one-on-one with a financial planner and I asked questions and I felt stupid because I felt like I should know the answer to these, but she was great. And it was the, you know, I invested in myself.
And when you do that, when you start like taking action, making a plan, like you feel like you're getting it a little bit under control. Like you feel a bit of a sense of control that like, especially like things like money, we can feel like are so out of control. That it is a, you know, it's an act of self-care to talk to somebody about that.
It is. It really is an act of self-care. And being confident enough to ask questions, which unfortunately you do need confidence to.
There are no stupid questions. There just aren't. Yeah.
There's not. There's really not. Let's see. Okay, the next one is investing in your past.
Yikes.
Which sounds daunting.
I have to go there. Yeah.
So, okay, I'm just going to read this. Getting sober means dealing with reality. A big part of reality for many people is credit card debt. I made countless unnecessary purchases using a piece of plastic and then promised I'd pay it off one day. I also learned the hard truths about what a cash advance on a credit card meant. Major facepalm moment. Oh my God. I didn't know. So at age 20, I got a cash advance from my credit card while on vacation, thinking it was like transferring from savings to checking. It's not. I eventually paid off my credit card debt, but getting rid of those bad spending habits is still challenging. I'm learning how to leverage the benefits of credit cards, points, or cash back deals while paying them off each month and avoiding interest fees.
Yeah.
That's like, this is something that does not come up in school. Like in my school, I was not taught any of this stuff. Like in high school, this was not covered.
It should be. Yeah.
It should be covered. This is like living your life. You know, like I was 20 years old. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. No one told me what a credit card was. I just knew, I'm 18. I can get a credit card now.
Yeah.
I didn't like, and the banks will just give it to you. And there's just very little information out there. And a lot of it is coded in jargon. So it's like, well, whatever, I'll figure it out later. And later, that usually means a pretty hefty bill.
Right. Right. Yeah. And again, I think when you stop doing that, negotiate a way or sort outline a way to pay down debt and all of that, it gives you, you know, gives you your agency back.
It does. That's a perfect way to say it. And we have a quote, an anonymous quote here. Now that I'm sober, I'm finally paying off my credit card debt. I'm paying for all those beers I bought for friends when I was blacked out. Plus interest. So that's like we were talking about with my 4 a.m. tacos, like that's like all that stuff, like buying a round of shots for friends, putting it on a credit card. I remember a friend of mine got with his student loans. He went on a shopping spree and he's like, we joke about his diesel jeans that he's still paying off.
Oh my gosh.
Like it's now I think it's great because there are more, you know, you can follow people on social media, TikTok and Instagram of like, you can follow finance people who break stuff down to make it easier to learn.
Yeah.
So I think that hopefully this next generation will have a little bit more of a grasp than I did. But unless you grow up with like a family member who's going to sit down with you and go over what this stuff means, a lot of us are just clueless.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, this next one is invest in your home, which we kind of touched on.
Yeah, I think we kind of talked about that, but yeah.
When I was in my party girl phase, I moved every year or two, so I rarely decorated. And sobriety taught me the value of respecting my home. Also, pandemic taught me that. And I've become a cleaner, tidier person. I've become a nester. I enjoy buying plants, brightening my space, and like investing in a soda stream because I drink so much seltzer. So,
oh yeah.
You know, like that is it's a cheaper and more environmentally friendly
That's
way to consume
use, yeah.
the amount of seltzer.
Yes.
yeah.
Oh, I consume so much seltzer. Yeah, absolutely. No. And my husband is environmentally extremely conscious. So we've had a soda stream for a long time. But for me, I never, you know, like I could live in an apartment when I was drinking for like 10 years and it would look like, you know, nobody lived there because there was nothing in the refrigerator. There was no stuff on the walls, none of that sort of stuff. And when I got sober, I realized a little bit differently, like, I'm just not the same kind of nester. And I'm not like, I didn't get into like, I would be the person who would move into an apartment and, you know, go to like some Pottery Barn or something and be like, okay, what goes in the living room? You know?
Yes.
I mean, that's okay. Is it comfortable? Okay. I wouldn't think about all that, but home, investing in home to me is more about like the neat aspect that you talked about. Like my life was chaos before. And once I got sober, you know, one of the things you do very early in 12-step, but my sponsor, first thing you do, you get up, you make your bed. And
yes.
I still do that to this day. Like I get up, I make my bed. And there's just an organized neatness around it. Like I can't have chaos in because my place was just chaos. And that's what gives me peace and good feelings at home. Plus Craig is very into design and decor and all that stuff. And he does a beautiful job. So that is completely his department. And I'm grateful for that. But I work on the neat, on the keeping it clean end, because I don't want it to be like the mess that my life was before.
I get that. I'm the same way. It can be like, if my apartment feels cluttery, it can be like triggering of like the way I used to live. And I'm like, nope.
That's same here. Same
can't
here.
Go back there. So we have a quote from our good friend Kate from Seltzer, the co-host of Seltzer Squad. She was on an episode a couple months ago. So Kate says, so she has an app called Quit That. According to my Quit That app, I've saved over $60,000 by giving up alcohol.
Whoa.
Yeah. She says that I bought an apartment, an investment property, and paid off my student loans. I'm someone that drunk me would have been jealous of. I'm able to buy my friends and family dinner when they come to visit, and I can finally bail myself out when life gets in the way.
Ah, that's awesome. I love
it. That's amazing. And like, you know, again, we're talking about like, I wanted to like, again, just like acknowledge that some people's experiences are different. Getting sober can leave people in debt, you know, like, people can maybe lose their jobs if they don't have like, and you know, that's a whole other conversation, a whole other podcast topic.
Right.
So just wanted to, you know, ground it for a sec. All right. Our last one is investing in experiences. So people often ask me if it's challenging to not drink alcohol while living in New York City. And I actually think it's easier because there's so many things to do here.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah.
you know, growing up in, you know, in my hometown of Waco, Texas, there wasn't a ton to do. There wasn't much to do, honestly. But here there's just so much, like, you know, Broadway shows and so many concerts and so many fun restaurants, like, or just even just with things to do that don't cost money, just going for walks, you know, half price museum days. Like there's just a lot. The city offers so much. If you just take the train to a random neighborhood you've never been and walk around, and I guarantee it's more fun than pretty much anything you've done in a while. Like,
Yeah. And it goes, it's consistent with what you hear or what I heard earlier, which was wherever you find a lot of partying, you find a lot of great recovery. So,
yes,
you know, you find sober crowds, like, and sober people do things during the day and they do things, you know, like cool things at night. And there's this whole other world.
Yes.
That to discover. And sober travel is a totally different
It is.
Experience. Yeah.
It really is. I want to read this quote from the other co-host of Seltzer Squad, our friend Jess. On the topic of experiences, she says, "I used to make sure I had at least $200 on me every time I went out. It's sad to think about all the years I spent living paycheck to paycheck simply because of alcohol. I just factored drinking money into my budget like rent or bills." Whew, that hits home. That hits home, which is really scary to think about. In just under 2 years of not drinking, I've upgraded my living quarters twice, opened up my own business, got a nicer car, and I finally have a savings account. Congrats, Jess. That's amazing. Like, what a testimony. And that was when she was only 2 years sober, and she's almost four years sober now. So
amazing. Amazing.
And like the last one is investing in self-care. I feel like we've already discussed that.
Yeah, we totally did. Yeah.
But I do want to read this quote from our friend Sherry Hampton.
Oh, Sherry. We've got so many friends to quote today.
I know. Sherry from Served Up Sober says, "Before I got sober, my finances were a mess. For years, I kept old bank statements just to remind myself that I once had money." Oof.
Yeah.
Even once I quit meth, I still carried an alcohol addiction that cost me $12 to $16 a day. Things are much different now. I actually have a savings and checking account with a credit card attached. I love paying my bills on time and not just when I receive the disconnection notice.
Oh, I love that. I love
that. That's real. I would wait until I got that pink slip and to pay a bill. I used to do that.
I had my renter's insurance canceled because I just didn't pay it. And I paid so many late fees on credit cards and all this stuff all the time for no reason. Like, the money was in the bank, but I was just too busy. You know, it was ridiculous. I think that's, that's a great article you wrote, and it is in the show notes.
Yes, we will link to this in the show notes. You have any songs?
I was thinking, I don't know why, I was sort of thinking old school, and I was thinking about Janis Joplin's Mercedes Benz.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I just listened to my Janis Pearl album last night on vinyl.
Ooh.
So nice. I'm thinking of Money for Nothing by Dire Straits.
Oh, that's a great one. that describes alcohol. Money for nothing.
Yeah. Money for nothing. 100%. And I mean, it's hard to talk about money without talking about Pink Floyd. So of course.
Oh yeah, that's true.
That pops up. But I'm glad that we went over this. Money is unfortunately a taboo topic, but I'm glad that we held space for this conversation.
Yes. Yes. And thank you for writing the article.
It's weird to go back and read something you wrote so long ago. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Let us know anything that comes up for you about, you know, booze-free life and money. Until next week.
See you next time. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.